So I have a question to start off with. Why are we here today? There are a number of reasons. If we turn to Leviticus 23, most of us are here, or should all be here, because we have the desire to obey the command to assemble on this day. You know, today is an appointed feast day that we are here to obey from God. And when you think of a feast day, we could think about delicious food when we're feasting, maybe even some yummy desserts. Some of us enjoy cooking and know how to make a variety of cookies, cakes, and pies. And those of us that enjoy the kitchen where we can create wonderful dish most likely have a recipe that we follow in great detail to make that dish. So there's a sequence of mixing the ingredients together, is there not, to bring out that wonderful dish that you want to be able to serve. For example, we wouldn't put all the ingredients of a cherry pie together in a blender, you know, the flour and butter for the crust and the filling ingredients, and throw it then into an oven, would we? It wouldn't come out looking like a pie at all. Well, God has a planned sequence of events to bring about a new heaven and earth, as we can read in 2 Peter 3:13, where Peter writes, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." You know, this is the end result of God's wonderful plan of salvation, coming to that time of the new heavens and the new earth. I think we all look forward to that time when it's only righteousness dwells at that time. So, but here in Leviticus 23, if you're still there, beginning in verse 1 through 2, where we read, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying," excuse me, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts." So we're here because they're our God's feast. And the Hebrew word for a feast is moedim, which means appointed times. So these are appointed times. We're here because God has appointed us to be here gathering before him today. That's why we're here observing it. To observe these holy days, as we find here, gives us God's plan for the salvation of mankind. The holy convocations are in sequence for a reason. Each holy day builds on the previous day. So let's look at verse 15 here, where we read, "For this day, count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwellings two wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah. They shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. These are the first fruits to the Lord." So we have did our counting, and that's why we're here today, because we have counted from that day after the Sabbath that we find in verse 10. Go back to verse 10 where we read, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you, you shall reap its harvest. Then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. And he shall weigh the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall weigh this." This is the day after the Sabbath during the days of unleavened bread. And from what I've gathered, it wasn't actually a sheaf of grain that was weighed by the priest, but the amount of grain you might find in a sheaf that you'd cut, which is about an omer's worth, as I see it. One omer, and then indicates that was probably barley that at that time was harvested. That is what was brought. So it had this container containing this barley seed, and that is what the high priest waved at that time. So then we see that, and then we count from that day. And so that's how we got to this day today, because we counted from beginning with that day after the Sabbath back in April. And we counted, you know, and it's a procession of our counting that we have. So on this day, here we are, and it's been 1,995 years since the one that was recorded in the books of Acts chapter 2, one where it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So that's why we're here. We've come together before God at this time. And then in still in Leviticus 23, verse 16 through 17, count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwelling two wave loaves of two-tenths of an ephah. According to the Bible commentary, an ephah is a unit of measurement used in ancient Israel. Two-tenths of an ephah would be approximately 4.4 liters, or about 9 pounds of wheat flour. And these loaves are big, you know. It tells us these loaves would represent first fruits. And if there were 9 pounds of flour, you know, two loaves at 4.5 pounds, that's pretty heavy there that the priest had to hold up in his hands. 4.5 pounds in each hand. So what we found. Then we look in as first fruits. There's an order of the first fruits, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12 through 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writing to the church there at Corinth. Beginning in verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? For there must have been some that did not believe that there was a resurrection from the dead. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, and Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then also those who had fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead, meaning Jesus Christ, by him. For as in all Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. For each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers up the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority, power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. So as we read here, Christ was the first of the first fruits that will take place. And at his coming, you know, the resurrection when he comes, which is following another holy day that we observe next time, is trumpets. But see, first he had to go up, as we read during the days of unleavened bread, to be offered to God the Father, and God the Father accepted what Jesus Christ had did for us here on earth, the work that he did, and he was accepted by the Father, but he was first, and then we will come along later at the resurrection. So there's a sequence of events there in this plan of salvation for mankind. Then we know that after trumpets, we have the Feast of Atonement, where it pictures Satan being bound so that there will be peace on earth. Then the Feast of Tabernacles, Millennium, and then the Eighth Day Observance. So we have this sequence of events that is taking place in the future events yet, but they will take place. So we, our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, our Savior, have a wonderful sequence or plan of events to take place that we are looking forward. For as it says in Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 17, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind." And then in chapter 66 of Isaiah as well, verse 22, "For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain." You know, we are here as first fruits. God the Father is working with us in Jesus Christ so that we can be there in his master plan that he has set out. And then as I read earlier in 2 Peter 3 and verse 13, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." So on this day of Pentecost, it's a day for us to rejoice, to be counted, numbered among the first fruits.